The Bloody Podcassacre with Zach Walters and Kennedy Catherine.
How are you?
You know what? I'm pretty good.
Me too.
This last week was hell at work. Mm. Just because everybody's been knocked out with COVID, so it's been picking up triple the amount of work. Mm-hmm. But I made it through only to have another week of it. It's probably going to be the exact same this week.
It's going to be the exact same, I think, for the next few months.
Yeah, it's just going to be a rotation of people coming in and out, which is unfortunate. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what can you do?
Not much. Just get vaccinated, get boosted, and keep on keeping on.
True. How are you?
Good. This was my free weekend after working for 12 days. Ugh. So I'm good.
That's good.
As I told you, I took two antihistamines and two shots of espresso before I came. So I am like perfectly equaled out right now.
Do you have just like your hot espresso shots?
I actually...
Or do you put them in with something, like make a drink?
I make a drink.
Okay.
So I just buy, and I know some people are going to be like, but I'm not bougie about my coffee. So I just buy instant espresso.
Okay.
I just mix it with water and then I top it up with some milk and then a little sweetener of whatever I like. Went to the gym, came back, did that. And I was like, endorphins and espresso. What more could a girl ask for?
That's good. Mm-hmm. I'm glad. Couple of things that I Googled today.
Yeah.
They're filming Happy Death Day 3, supposedly.
I still have never seen any of them and I've heard they're good.
I absolutely hate them.
Do you?
I started the second one and I shut it off because I was like, I do not want to watch another movie of this. I did not like the first one, but I know that people love them. It's because it's a horror comedy and that's not up my alley. Unfortunate for me, but exciting for other people. Halloween Ends started filming last month, so you know what it do.
Can't wait to get back into theaters for that one.
Yep. I don't know if you ever watched it, but season 3 of Servant, it's an Apple TV Plus series, M. Night Shyamalan.
I just got Apple TV, so okay. I haven't seen it yet.
I just canceled mine.
I know, we talked about this last time.
I loved season 1. I was like fully into it. It's about this couple who has, I think, a 13-month-old baby, and it dies. As a like means of therapy, they get a doll that like looks like it. It's a very expensive doll they paid for. The mom is still kind of like has a lot of trauma from it, so she ends up hiring a babysitter for the doll just because she like still has that like mindset of like she wants somebody to look after her baby and like, you know, she's not doing well. But there's like some witchy voodoo thing that happens and the baby comes alive.
Oh.
That there's like a culty thing with the babysitter.
Is the tone of it quite dark?
Yes and no. Rupert Grint is in it, who plays Ron Weasley.
I think we also talked about this last time.
I think so too. Because I was trying to figure out what the show was called.
Right.
And I just saw that, yeah, they released season 3. I never watched season 2, but I should because season 1 was banging.
I just need more shows to just kind of like power through when I have some downtime. Because I'm really bad for beating myself up for watching TV. So I just won't. But it's so enjoyable.
I know.
And I feel like I'm missing out on so many cultural references to things that are new. Because like in the last 2 or 3 years, I've watched really, really mindless things rather than investing myself and like actually sitting down and watching something. So I'm going to add that one and then the Archive 81 to my list.
Because, yeah, I'm very excited to continue with it. Mm-hmm. And the tone is like, it's a like very clean show.
Servant?
No.
Archive 81.
Archive 81. I've only seen the first episode so far. But like, it's very like crisp whites and grays and browns. Acting is really good. The writing is good. The music's good. And I really like the main actor. He's very good. He has a very nice voice.
So the premise of it is...
So the main guy, he is somebody who fixes like archive tapes and makes them digital. So he gets a job where there was a fire in a like apartment building and they have all these tapes and they want them or him to fix them. And they're going to pay him $100,000 to do it. But he has to work out of their like private facility because they don't want to move the tapes.
Okay.
Things get weird on the tapes.
Is the tapes security footage from that apartment building? Or so they were found in the building?
They were found in the building, but it was this grad student doing her thesis on the building and the cultural of like the building. So yeah, I'm very excited to continue with that. And I had like two people who don't like to watch horror tell me that they binged it in a day.
Yeah, my partner is watching it and she's not a big horror person at all. She watched one episode, freaked her out. She did not sleep very well that night.
Of this show?
Yes, of Archive 81. The next day she was like, oh, I watched the next 3 episodes. I was like, oh, you really learned your lesson, didn't you?
Hmm.
Anything else?
No, that's kind of it. I'm very, like I just said, I'm very excited to continue through. Nice. I've seen a lot of people comment that they're very excited for a season two, that it ends on a cliffhanger that should have a season, like a second season.
Yeah.
I also like made this like new resolution that I don't want to continue it within a time frame, but I really would like on at least one streaming service, I think Netflix, to actually go through my watch list and complete them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because I've been deleting movies and shows that I'm like, I put this on, I'm never going to actually watch it.
Right.
But there is things I'm like, I do really want to watch that. So I want to try to like burn through a watch list on something.
Mm-hmm. I never utilize those things.
Really?
Never. The only place that I, you know, actually save videos to watch later is YouTube when I come across something that seems interesting.
Yeah.
But I have to start doing that because I'll see something once and think, yeah. Immediately forget about it.
Every streaming service has like 1,700 different shows and movies. And I just like, I won't stop, but I need to. Like, I need to stop just like adding things to my watch list and actually watch things on the watch list.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So.
I'm watching Ozark right now because it just came out.
I've never seen it. I don't know if it's for me. Is it?
I don't know how you feel about like crime mafia dramas.
I don't mind them here and there.
Here's the thing. You, like we've talked about before, I think you really like things with some level of relatability, particularly to like an age group that you can see yourself in. And this show will not give you that.
Okay.
So maybe not.
Well, maybe I'll add it to my list of things to watch finally. That's kind of all I have to say for news and stuff.
Great. Do you want to talk about our movies today?
Yes.
We are talking about the first and the second Descent.
Gonna be honest, better than I remember them being, honestly. The first one at least.
I do not like these movies at all.
Interesting. Yeah. See, I liked the first one. Then the second one, I was like... absolutely nothing.
Oh, we'll get into that. But I knew that I had watched this at some point.
Me too. I think in high school.
I'm 95% sure I turned it off. Because when I started watching it, I was like, yes, this seems very familiar. And then at some point, I was like, it's not my bag.
Fair. It's pretty much just like a monster movie.
It is. It's so many things. Like any of the movies that we talked about, I feel like there's some sort of hidden meaning here and there. Should we work our way through the plot and then talk about it?
Sure.
We're going to do a quick glance at the plot.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do.
We're going to flash it and be like, huh.
Right, because we got to work through the first one and the second one.
The second one, there's no plot.
Exactly. So the descent starts off with our main character, Sarah, on a whitewater rafting trip with her friends and then her daughter and her husband. On the drive home, Sarah and her husband begin to sort of bicker and he slowly veers into the next lane before they're hit head on. Sarah survives the crash, but her family does not.
Was it head on?
Yep.
I thought it was like they rammed into the back, like very Final Destination is what I remember.
No, they...
I wrote down, that car scene is so Final Destination.
We said the exact same thing. They veer into the oncoming lane.
Oh.
And they're hit head on in these poles. I'm not really sure what this service vehicle is that has like iron poles, not iron...
Steel.
Steel poles. Goes through the husband's head and presumably kills the child, but... They did not show us that. Classy. So 1 year later, in an attempt to do something fun and have some normalcy, Sarah joins her group of friends for a cave spelunking adventure. In total, there are 6 women, one of whom is familiar with the cave system. But after working their way down to a substantial depth where a narrow passage collapses behind them, Sarah's friend admits that they're not in the familiar system. She pulls a, what's his name, Mike, from Blair Witch Project and is just like, by the way... Totally yes. Lied about where we are. I also did not bring the map. But she explains that
Didn't she just leave it at the car?
Yes.
Okay.
And she explains to them that she brought them there because she'd hoped to discover the cave with the friends. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is going to be sort of like a bonding experience after they've all sort of fallen apart after this tragedy a year earlier. But this now means that no one knows where they are. And the rangers that they reported to, if they have to be search and rescued, will have no idea where to find them. So as the group presses forward, they begin to find signs that this cave may have actually been traveled at some point. There are cave paintings and old equipment. As they get further in, one of the women thinks she sees sunlight and runs towards it, only to fall down a hole and break her leg.
Okay, so I'm like kind of like I made like little one sentence things. So I put like Juno is dumb. But then the next one is Holly in the hole. And I was like, what is this about? So thank God you mentioned Holly in the hole.
Mm-hmm. Also, I don't really name anyone, but we can go through people. But just so everyone knows, Juno is public enemy number one.
Yes, 100%. Truly she could is not be awful. Worse. Yeah. She's the one who forgot the map.
She's the one who didn't bring the map purposely, threw it back in the car. Also, we'll get to her transgressions later on. But once Holly is in the hole. It's really the beginning of the end from there. So the group attempts to escape, one with a broken leg, and they encounter a den of human and animal carcasses. Suddenly, they're attacked. So Holly, with her broken leg, is killed by a humanoid-looking creature that gnaws through her throat. The women scramble away, and one of the group members tries to attack the creature. But then she hears something behind her, she turns around, and she ends up striking one of her friends with a pickaxe, now leaving two of them dead.
And that was right through the neck.
Right through.
It was, like, gutted.
Clean cut.
Yeah. Could you imagine, though, if that was, like... You can't blame your friend
right.
for that situation, but also, like, you would feel so awful.
But does she feel awful?
No.
She leaves her for dead.
She looks at her, and she's holding that pickaxe, and she's kind of, like, wiggling it. She's like, yeah. Like, fuck you.
And the friend is like, don't leave me, don't leave me, and she just backs up and leaves.
She's like, I gotta.
If we're being 100% truthful, it doesn't really leave two of them dead, because that girl does suffer for a long time, and then another one of the friends comes along and does a mercy killing, but we don't go through that. She is the worst, obviously, Juno. She leaves her friend behind. So later, three of the women find each other, and one explains that she believes that the creatures are blind and only relying on sound to hunt. They begin to try and noiselessly move forward. Eventually, the group of three, without our main character Sarah, are attacked. Two of the women are eaten alive, leaving behind Juno, the one who led them into the cave in the first place. Eventually, Sarah comes across her and confronts her, because not only has she led them down there, Sarah also learns that she's the one who left their friend behind. And plot twist, Juno was also having an affair with Sarah's dead husband, which we can assume is the reason he was distracted and they started the argument in the car that ultimately killed the entire family. So anyway, Sarah rightfully takes Juno's leg out with a pickaxe and leaves her to be eaten alive. She then crawls her way to the mouth of the cave and wanders through the forest until she ends up back at one of their vehicles. The second Descent film, though it was released 4 years later, takes place 2 days after the events of the first film. Sarah wakes up in hospital, the lone survivor, and the only one who can lead the police department and cave specialists down through the system. Unfortunately, Sarah has no memory of what happened. But when they take her there and find one of her friend's bodies at the mouth of the cave, the flashbacks begin. Much like the first film, the second is just like the entire group battling between the creatures, and eventually it ends up in near total devastation.
The only one kind of like major plot twist in the second one is that Juno has still survived.
She kind of helps to
save the people because she's been there for a matter of 2 days.
Yes.
And so she knows the ropes now.
Yeah, she's an expert.
Yeah, she's been there. It seems like she's been there for like 7 years. Mm-hmm. No, she's been there for 48 hours.
Ultimately, it doesn't matter. Not really, because she also dies. But what ends up happening is one of the members of the group, Deputy Sheriff Ellen Rio, a woman that Sarah observes to be a mother when she hears her taking a call from her kid before they enter the cave. Sarah and Ellen reach the end of the cave with most of the group now wiped out, and Sarah realizes that it's going to be between the two of them because the creatures are closing in. They know that someone is there. So in a sacrificial move, Sarah screams, and the creatures descend upon her as Ellen runs and escapes through the mouth of the cave. She works her way through the forest until she stops to take a breath, and as she does, she is struck over the head with a shovel by an old man named Ed, who is the mineshaft operator who led them down there in the first place, and then we watch as he drags her body back to the cave and throws her into the creatures.
God keep the boys fed. I just want to kind of go through my notes quickly of, like, rewatching this.
Yeah.
So, first off, I watched this in high school. My first note was, when did the cast grow? Originally thought there was 4 girls. There was like 10 of them.
6 in total. Yeah.
I was like, when did this cast get 2 extra people?
Mm-hmm.
When did they all become English? I thought this was an American film.
I thought it was Australian.
And so I was watching it. I was like, are they faking accents right now? Mm-hmm. No, it turns out it's an English movie, but it's set in America.
Yes. Set America, filmed in the UK, all British actors.
Yes. And then in the second one, when it started, I was like, are we just not pretending that we're English anymore? Because then the 2 cops were American and I forgot that it was set in America.
Mm.
And I was like,
discombobulated.
I was like, something is very wrong here.
Yes.
Another note was that this movie reminds me a lot of early 2000s video games like Lara Croft.
We also said that when we were watching.
It's very
all
like,
of a sudden it's Lara Croft.
Yeah, it's like very like Tomb Raider. It's like Indiana Jones, mm-hmm. but like a horror version of it, which I kind of liked. I was like, this is kind of fun. Mm-hmm. And then in the first movie, the part where they're putting Holly's So there is a doctor in one of the friend groups, or like a medical professional, mm-hmm. and they're trying to put Holly's bone back in her leg.
This part is rough.
And they're just pushing.
They I'm like, quite literally just push her bone back in
yeah,
to her
but
leg.
But they're not. They're like holding it and they're just like wiggling it around and they're like, Holly, shh.
Holly,
shh, be quiet.
Shut up.
And she's like, I literally have a bone and you're literally playing with it with your hands.
Yeah, like my bone is sticking as far out of my body as humanly possible without death.
Yep.
And you're telling me to shut up.
That was my one kind of like that I was like grossed out with. And then in the second one, why did she want to go in? Sarah, take a break.
I don't know that it's ever explicitly communicated, but I do think she was sort of under suspicion because they found Juno's blood on her.
Right.
And I don't think they gave her the option. She also didn't remember.
Right. And I was like, but you also like didn't remember that your child died. Like you would think that you would want like just a moment to breathe.
Yeah.
No, Sarah, you have no family left and all of your friends are missing. You have to come with us. You're not going to recover at all.
I also hated that when they were talking to the old man in the very beginning of the movie, asking him if he would take them down into the cave, that Sarah was in the car with the deputy sheriff and she was on the phone with her kid. And I was like, how insensitive can you be? It's just the two of you alone in a car and you're talking to your kid about how much mommy loves her. As the woman in the backseat, you've just told her entire fucking family is dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Take a fucking break.
I know. The part where the rat crawled out of someone's mouth.
Yeah.
Awful.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fact that rats make homes in your bodies sometimes.
I mean, they can.
Don't want that. A friend who I was watching with said, let's really make a movie with as much gore as possible, but with absolutely no money. That blood was crisp, clean red.
Very bright.
Fruit punch.
Yes, I agree.
And then the one thing that throughout this movie that I absolutely hated was the lighting situation.
You can't see fucking shit.
No, but then also at the same time, so they have flashlights or torches as they call them, and they have glow sticks. This is more of like a technical error in like filmmaking, I find, with this movie. So many times they would crack a green glow stick and the rocks behind them would light up green.
Oh, right.
Like, it would illuminate, like, as if someone flicked on a light.
Yeah.
And it happened so many times throughout both of the movies. Mm-hmm. And there were so many times where they would be shining a flashlight forward and their shadows would be behind them. And there was things like that where I was just like, it's just these small things just to move the lights.
There was another movie we watched where there was the same thing where they turned on, oh, it was Host. One of the first ones we ever did, a girl lights a single match and it lights up like an entire room.
Right.
It's just, it's a really bad technical error. Mm-hmm.
Like, and like you can do it in so many ways where you could have like a small light just light up someone's face or you know, I understand if you're having a flashlight in front of you and you're filming, you're only going to get the two heads of the flashlight lamps.
Mm-hmm.
But also you could have like just small trickles of light coming as if there's cracks above them far up.
Well, and if you need in that scene for there to be light behind them, just use a different light source. You could mm-hmm. use one of the flares that they have or whatever.
Yeah.
Like there was times where they needed everything around them to be illuminated and then times where they didn't.
Yeah, it was very inconsistent. Mm-hmm. And the glow stick thing really, really made me mad because I was like, it totally took me out because I noticed it.
Right.
But overall, I do think that it's a good horror movie in my opinion. Because it's like a fun watch. There's no like, you don't have to like really pay attention. It's just people dying. It's an all-women cast.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I don't find it interesting. I don't think it's, like, incredibly well done. I don't know and I don't think that's a popular opinion. I think a lot of people think this movie's very well done. I just don't, it's just not for me, and that's fine.
Fair. One thing that I also did find, I jumped a lot in this movie.
Mm.
Like, both of them. It's like, I knew that there was something coming, or that it would be, like, an arm, but it would be always, like, unexpected jump.
Right.
And I do commend them for that.
Mm-hmm. I'm learning about myself that I like things that I'm not going to understand right away, or things that have some sort of, like, intellectual or
right.
whatever component to them. And this movie was just fairly cut and dry. However, there are some theories and an alternate ending that I want to talk to you about that
yes,
make it far
me.
More interesting.
Okay.
So we both watched the version that ends with Sarah escapes.
Yes.
She finds one of their vehicles. She drives it down the road. She eventually stops to sort of catch her breath. She leans out of the vehicle, throws up, and then there's sort of like a final jump scare where Juno appears next to her. And then
yes.
the movie ends. That could be open to interpretation, but because we have the sequel, we know that that was just sort of like a figment of her imagination. Mm-hmm. However, That is the American ending.
Oh.
There is the ending that was only released in the UK, and then they adjusted it for American audiences because they didn't think that people would like it. The actual ending was that she escapes,
mm-hmm.
and then Juno pops up next to her, screen fades to black, comes back up, and she is back in the cave. And she's having a delusion of her daughter blowing out her birthday candles again. And so what we're led to believe is, like, her escaping was just a figment of her imagination. She's actually stuck in the cave with everyone else. And then she dies.
Love that.
Right. So it's much better, but it also doesn't make any sense with the sequel. So a lot of big fans of the first one like to pretend that the sequel never even happened.
Well, I mean, makes sense.
If you
saw the original ending.
Mm-hmm. Especially because they kill her in the first version and then they kill her in the second version. So it just gets a little
messy.
Yeah.
And supernatural almost, you mm-hmm. know,
mm-hmm.
because I don't think that these, like, crawlers is what they've called them, are supernatural by any means.
They're not.
Because all they are is just people who have evolved.
Right. So the creatures look like humans. What they're supposed to be is cavemen who have stayed underground. They have evolved with their environment. So they look like humans, but basically they've just adapted to the point where they would thrive in a cave. So they have those large ears to hear. They don't. Their eyes don't work because they don't mm-hmm. need to adjust because they can't fucking see anything anyway. Yeah,
their skin is pretty gray and dark because they don't need sunlight.
Yeah. So those two endings. But there's also this theory that I quite like. The creatures are also a figment of Sarah's imagination, and that this is all just like a manifestation of her grief, and that she rages out
and kills
all of her friends with the knowledge that, like, they've become distant since her family mm-hmm. passed. Like, one of her friends is like, sorry, I couldn't be there. I had midterms.
I know. When they said that, I was like, you couldn't, like, defer your midterms because your best friend's husband and child died?
Right. And then her other best friend was fucking her husband.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like that theory.
Me too. Because mm-hmm. it kind of adds, like, an extra level of, like, damn, I wish the first one, I wish I would have seen it with
the first version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I think I'm going to kind of pretend that that is the version I saw.
Me too.
And that it is all a figment of her imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And I am sticking with this theory because I really like that, actually.
It's a much better ending.
Yeah. The second, we pretend not to see.
Well, just speaking of the second real quick before I talk about another theory.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting thing. So the budget for the first movie was $3.5 million. And at the box office, it made $57 million.
Wow.
The budget for the second movie was $6.2 million. And it made $7 million at the box office.
Oh.
So that is a fucking hit. Did not do well.
No.
People do not like it.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It also, like, it feels like there should be a third, just because, like, the way that movies usually are built in trilogies.
Mm-hmm.
It's so strange that there's just a first and a second to me.
I mean, there's lots of movies like that. Like, what about this one to you? Did you feel there should be a third, like an explanation for that old man?
I guess.
Or, like, of what these people are, kind of thing. The only thing that didn't really make sense that I was like, this begs more, like, a bigger question is that at the end, we find out that this older man is sort of, like, aiding these cavemen.
And, like, why that they don't kill him? Like, why does he need to do that?
Is he just, he's become aware of them and he just doesn't want to, like, sell them out kind of thing?
Like, and for what are they, like, literally, what are they giving you?
Right.
That you have to, like, repay them?
I guess the only way I can look at it is from, like, if he's coming at it from, like, more of, like, a humanitarian perspective, you know, when you find out that there's, like, islands with tribes right. on them that never evolved past
mm-hmm.
island life. And then people are like, don't go in and fuck with that.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if this is kind of how he feels about it.
Maybe.
If they're not killing people, because you do see they're killing deer and stuff like mm-hmm. that, then for the most part, they're just, like, a self-contained thing that are fine otherwise. Yeah. But he did actively throw a woman
hit her
them. Yeah.
With a shovel.
That's a problem.
It's like he knew that someone might come out and he was at the ready.
Mm-hmm.
He watched them go in and he said, no one's coming out.
Right. So the other theory is very similar to the premise as above, so below.
Okay.
The further they descend, the more it becomes a hellscape. They're realistically not actually part of the actual world anymore. They are in, like, a hell-like mm-hmm. place. Not everybody, but, like, this relationship between Sarah, Juno, and then the other sort of best friend, mm-hmm. Beth, who is the one that she mercy kills. They've all, like, they have this contentious relationship and this tension. And the two who are the most at odds are the ones that last till the very end. The people who are more of the innocent people are the ones that die closer up. Mm-hmm. So they have descended, they haven't descended as far into the hellscape. So that's an interesting theory.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And it also kind of makes sense that, you know, Sarah gets out,
mm-hmm.
because she really hasn't committed any sins.
No.
But Juno's the one who ends up staying in the first.
Yeah.
So that would make sense. I don't know if I like it as much.
I don't really. I think it's an interesting thing to think about, but I don't think that's what it is.
Yeah, I think it is just caves with people living in mm-hmm. them. Also, so I was watching the second one yesterday, and I was on Twitter, and noticed that you tweeted about the yes. Descent. And I was like, oh my gosh, you guys, someone randomly tweeted about the Descent to my friends. And I was like, oh, it's Kennedy. And I was like.
I cannot. With the idea of going through a fucking cave. Like, we talked about this with As Above, So Below. It's way more claustrophobic in this movie.
It's a lot of, like, tight space crawling.
Mm-hmm.
I do not want to do that.
No.
And two things. There's two different, like, bodies of water in each one. The first one, there is a huge, massive pool of, like, blood. Where does that come from?
Is it just where they're collecting all them guts?
Do they drain all of their animals and stuff and just, like, you know, take, like, the meat of it?
I mean, you would think not, because they're eating every... From what I can tell, they're just eating everything whole.
And then the second one, they have the poop pool. You know what, though? Good for them for building a world of being, like, they have a place where they eat, a place where they shit. But did not need it.
Civilized.
And there was also one of the crawlers, I think, had long hair.
Yes. So there are supposed to be females, males, and children.
Do you think that they mate?
Yes. We're supposed to
believe
that.
I guess children.
Yeah. The director or the creator, I guess, of the movie has explicitly stated that they are very much... Just they are humans.
Yeah.
They're just less evolved humans.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to pull our favorite segment, which is, what would I like this movie to be if it wasn't this movie at all? I think I would prefer if it wasn't a creature-based film. And that's just me not really liking creatures. Because there's so many fears that they play off of in this, like mm-hmm. claustrophobia, a fear of the dark, all of those things. And there is so many storylines and, like, tensions that they could play off. Like, imagine a group of friends get stuck in a cave. They don't know how to get out. And then it comes to light that the friend who's, like, experienced this large tragedy, that her best friend has done quite possibly one of the worst things you could do to your friend, which is fuck their husband. And then they're all stuck in this cave together. Like, that could also turn into, like, its own horrific mm-hmm. exploration of, like, the things that people might do to each other in those circumstances. Almost like a Yellow Jackets type of thing.
Yes.
I think I would like that.
Which, speaking of Yellow Jackets, I've decided I am not going to watch season 2.
Why?
It isn't what I want it to be.
Oh, okay.
I really, really enjoyed it. And I know I've raved about it in the past few podcasts. With the season finale and the season ending, it is not, it's not for me.
Okay.
It's not where I want it to go. It's not... I'm kind of already getting annoyed with all the characters, the storyline. It's not moving as fast as I'd like to.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to not watch it weekly. Maybe I'll watch it once the full season is out and just kind of go through it. But it was...
Not
I
it.
Was kind of disappointed by the end. Mm. I kind of got bored.
Oh, shit.
So would recommend, though, for other people still. I think it is a fine show. But towards the end, I kind of dipped out. Do you want to hear some fun facts about filming and producing and whatnot?
I would absolutely love to.
So, the main thing that they always called this movie while they were filming was called Chicks with Picks, which I was like, you know what? That's pretty much what it is.
That is funny.
Also, a pickaxe is a great weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, thinking about it, like, it's a little bit sharp. It's easy to, like, move around. You can also get places with it.
Yep.
I was like, I would maybe choose a pickaxe
or two. It's an all-purpose tool.
So, very much enjoyed pickaxe, Chicks with Picks. In the first movie, with the exception of Sarah's husband and, like, extras, there is no other men in the film.
I love that.
Which is a reversal. So, Neil Marshall directed and created this movie. His previous movie was called Dog Soldiers, where it was mostly males and no females.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big things in watching... Sorry, yeah.
So he did it purposely just to, like, kind of flip it on its head?
Mm-hmm. Cool. I don't know what the plot of Dog Soldiers is.
Me neither.
Nor will I go look.
I do know that this director, though, hasn't done a whole lot. I think he's done mostly television, this, and then Hellboy.
I do know that the first movie was directed by Neil Marshall, and then the second one was directed by the editor of the first one.
But so, I do think that Neil Marshall was still involved.
Yes.
Okay.
So one thing that I wanted to know, like, because we found out while they were filming As Above, So Below, it was in the Paris catacombs. Mm-hmm. In this movie, they decided that they weren't going to film in an actual cave because it would be too time-consuming for them to get place to place, and it was also probably going to be too dangerous, like setting up a film crew in a cave
right.
and moving them around. So they built 21 separate caves for this film.
Holy shit.
And they were carefully reused with like different angles and like set dressings so that it could seem like an endless interconnection of caves. Mm. And then in the second movie, they ended up making 30 caves. And one thing that I found interesting was, so the director of the second one, or the writer, I don't remember which one, he made like a blueprint of like what the map would look like as they actually go and film through it, mm-hmm. and like gave it to all the people as like, okay, so this is our starting point and this is our ending point. These are the caves and how it's going to like, your sets are going to look and work.
Right.
And I thought that was really cool, is like have the time to like think that through totally. And be like, this is where we're starting and this is like a map literally of like what the movie should be.
Right.
Instead of just being like, okay, we're going to set number two, try to figure out where you would come in and come out. Mm-hmm. So I really liked that. And then I wanted to figure out more about like the crawlers. One thing that I like constantly compared them to was they kind of looked like orcs from Lord of the Rings.
Yes, I thought that too.
I was like, this is very reminiscent of them, but they're like more skinny, more like greasy, if mm-hmm. that makes sense. But they wanted them to kind of resemble Nosferatu.
And they do.
Yeah, in a little sense, in which they had huge white eyes to begin with, but then they wanted them to like go down to more regular human because they looked a little too silly. They took 3.5 hours in makeup to transform an actor into a crawler. They made them shave off all of their body hair and their like scalp. So they were like fully just like skin and then put into makeup. Which I'm like, that's crazy. And that's 3.5 hours.
To the game.
I know, 3.5 hours in a makeup chair is excruciating. Mm-hmm. I've never been in one, but I can just pick, it'd be so boring.
Yeah.
And he never wanted any like stuntmen, or he wanted actors in the movie so that they would each have like some sort of like character to give versus like a stuntman just doing like stunts.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I kind of liked that. And then he, in filming a lot of them by themselves, he shot the crawlers at 18 frames per second, which is a little bit slower than a regular film, which is about 24. And with a 45-degree shutter to give them more of a staccato movement to make mm-hmm. them look more jittery.
Got it.
And I was like, that is a fun thing that, like, you would never know unless yeah. you, like, research about it. One other kind of fun thing that I found out is in the special edition DVD commentary, the first scene in the first movie is them whitewater rafting. And they did it all by themselves without any special effects or stunt doubles, which is insane.
It looked a little dicey.
I've never been whitewater rafting, but it looks terrifying. Mm-hmm. And so could you imagine like that being the first scene you film and all of your actors like get injured and they can't continue the movie? I'm sure it's not the first scene they filmed, but... And then lastly, for kind of fun facts, in the second movie, when they're going down into the cave, they take like an elevator type...
A mine shaft.
Yep.
Elevator.
And when they're being lowered down, they used a rolling 8-foot rubber wall that looked like the inside of a cave that they rolled behind them so it looks like they're falling.
Oh.
And now I want to go rewatch that scene specifically for that.
Yeah.
So that it looks like they're going down beneath the surface.
Very cool.
But imagine being that like person on the side, like constantly like rolling up this rubber wall and it like, what if it gets stuck? Also, being an actor, like, pretending to, like, go down in a cave, like, whoa, the rubber wall.
You see that all the time, too, when you see, like, behind the scenes of CGI things. Yeah. Where people are acting with, like, full-on creatures and characters that are not there.
Yes, or it's just, like, a person with a green screen with, like, a puppet on their hand. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, movies are magic, but also, like...
That's gotta feel just, like, so embarrassing.
I know. Like, the first time you do that, I would be like, I can't do this.
Absolutely.
I'd be like... Can we at least get a real person?
Or can, like, everyone leave the room? I don't want to, like, please don't look at me.
Let me act with this puppet that's mm-hmm. going to turn into a giant animal.
Exactly.
Like Clifford, the Big Red Dog.
I don't ever want to see that. That looks like the biggest piece of junk.
I've heard it's fine.
Well, I don't believe it, so.
And I'm not going to watch it either.
No.
So, some of the fuck-ups in this movie. In the first movie, they're looking... When they're going and trying to cross, like, the first chasm in the, you know, what's that called?
Passage.
Yeah, sure.
And, like, they're, the cave system.
Yes, and they're putting up the carabiners and so they can all slide across. One of the girls says, oh, fuck, but her mouth doesn't move.
Oh.
They're hooking up the third person to slide across and go. And it flashes back to the group, and all five people are still there.
That's a substantial fuck up.
Yes. And so that's kind of like 40 minutes into the movie. At around 25 minutes into the first movie, Juno lights the flare to reveal the interior of a cave, and a crewman is visible beneath them.
Are you serious?
Yes, and I didn't see that. I don't know why you don't just crop it in.
Right.
That's kind of funny. And then in the second movie... So the film is supposed to be set in 2005 when the movie comes out, and it takes the second one takes place 2 days after. The person who is recording a video message, her name is Rio. She's recording a video message for her daughter on a Nokia 981 phone, which isn't released until 2 years later in 2007 because the movie came out in 2009. So they had a futuristic phone in this movie.
They're like, we're going to take it 2 years back, but not four.
No, meet it halfway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there is, like, a lot more that are, like, continuity errors, but those are kind of some of my favorites where I was like, you couldn't fix this little thing.
You tried, but not hard enough.
No. And that's, like, the gore in the second movie. They really wanted to make it a gory movie with zero money. But they had money.
They had more money than they had on the first one.
So I don't know why the blood was, like, that fruit punch ketchup.
Yeah, it was really bad.
But there were some good things. That hand-cutting scene?
Mm-hmm.
Great. It was fine when the crawler, she kicks out the rock and the rock crushes the crawler's head. That was fine, but it was a little too slow.
Yes.
It like slowly crushed that and I was like, I would have zooted out of there.
Yeah. One of my favorite scenes out of like all of the deaths and everything like that. Mm-hmm. This is so lame, but the part where the crawler is standing on top of her head. Because she, like, with Sarah, I think it's Sarah, is still alive. Like, this is not a dead person, mm-hmm. but basically they've learned, like, if you stay still, they don't know that you're there. So she just kind of, like, flattens herself onto a rock, and a crawler is perched on top of her body and her head.
Ugh.
Loved it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So good. There is some good, like, horror.
Yeah, totally.
In this movie, but there is also a lot of bad horror.
It's just not what I'm looking for.
I think that the first one for me personally is like better than I remember it being. Mm-hmm. And I do think that like it holds up for me personally. Second one, absolutely not. Throw it in the trash.
I think we can all agree the second one just didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Cool. The only other thing that's kind of a fun fact is that the actresses did not see the crawlers until the first scene that they shot with them, which I always think is a very good way of doing mm-hmm. things.
It's like when they did an It.
Mm-hmm.
And I did see that they used, the first time they see them is through the night vision camera. And so it kind of like fucked them up a little.
That would be so fucking scary.
I would hate it. I hate night vision in movies because I do think it's terrifying.
Yeah.
And so if you were acting and you have to look through the night vision camera.
I mean, at least you're prepared for it.
True. But you're never prepared for what it actually is.
And on that note... Should we rate it?
Yes.
Scary.
3.
I was going to say 3 too.
Amazing.
Unsettling. No.
Like 2.
I'm going to go with a 1.
Like I don't want to be in that situation. Nor do I want to go cave crawling.
No.
Have you ever been in a cave? Like an actual like.
No. No, not like that.
No, I haven't either.
I don't think I would.
No.
I would be fine to like, you know, there's like cave diving and things you can do that are like. Pretty cavernous, like large spaces. Mm-hmm. I could do that. But if we get into like crawling through a passageway,
absolutely
I would simply rather die. I would have made it 10 minutes into this movie before I was like, go ahead. I'm staying here. Yeah. I know I'll die. That's okay.
Yeah. I don't want to like when they're like, oh, here's the painting. I'd be like, I don't want this.
Yeah, fuck no. That is the other thing that bothers me about this movie. They had ample warning along the way. And just at every turn, everyone was just like, well, that's weird.
Yeah.
You're not going to take that red fucking flag?
Or like the arrows?
Yes.
They're like, oh. Do you know what one thing I did learn about caves a lot in this movie?
What?
The way that water flows and the way that the wind blows mm-hmm. is the way that you're supposed to go out.
Yes.
Good. There's a little bit of education.
Just in case we ever get stuck in a cave.
Yeah, spit in a river.
Story.
Like 4.
Yeah, I'll give it like a 5.
I do think that like it could be cleaned up, and if it had that original ending, I think it would have been higher for me.
I agree. Is it a paper cut or is it a bloody massacre? It's a paper cut for me.
Yeah, it's probably a paper cut for me as well. It's nothing revolutionary.
But it tried its best.
Sure did.
Well, you guys, you know where to find us. TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, all the places. We do this all the time. It's at Podcastacre.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Leave us a rating or review. Send us what you want us to do.
I do want people to send us more. Because it's like, I do like us picking the movies, but at the same time, I want to like see like what other people are interested in so that we can, you know, gauge with.
Yes. We have had some recommendations, some great recommendations. I will just say that every once in a while, we have to do some deductive reasoning between what is a little too obscure and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
If something, obviously, we see on our end how things perform, and movies that have a lower score or are not super culturally relevant, so like your weird niche movie that you watched growing up, they're kind of harder for us to do.
Yes.
So there are some recommendations that we've left sitting that we're talking about doing like an episode, a bigger episode with a couple of different of those, mm-hmm. a couple different movies in it to cover some of those. But if there's anything that you're like, what the hell? Like, this is so obvious. Why haven't you covered this? Please mm-hmm. Send that our way.
We do have some classics coming up.
We do. I'm excited.
And I think that we should maybe throw in a 4 in soon.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, until next time.
Scream your last breath.